Very good morning to you, my dear listeners. Very good morning to you, Namibia. Welcome to Eagle FM. Good morning wherever you find yourself. And how are you? How are you this morning? So I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. So hope you rested well and ready to face this week. And ready to take on the week as it is coming. So welcome to Eagle FM. This is your number one talk radio station, and thanks for choosing Eagle FM this morning to be in your company. And it's always a pleasure for us to be in your company as usual. So my name is Mike Oshoveni, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economic, and politics. So every day or every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear, little witty, and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So, good morning. Our time is about 33 minutes past the hour of 7. Today is the 4th of August, and the year is 2025. So, what happened on this day in Africa? Let's get into our segment of what happened on this day in Africa. So in the modern day Ghana, commemorate Founders Day on the 4th of August to honor two landmarks event. One is on the 4th. On the 4th of August, 1897, a coastal chief and intellectual led by John Mensah Saba established the Aborigines Rights Protection Society, the ARPS, in the Cape Coast. So this was the first successful African-led lobby group in West Africa, so mobilizing legal opposition to British land expropriation. And the other founder day, landmarks is the 4th of August, 1947, the United Gold Coast Convention, UGCC, was officially launched at Salt Pond by leader, including now Pa Grand, J.B. Dagwa, and Kwame Nkrumah. By then, he was a secretary. So it became the first organized nationalist party in the Gold Coast, demanding a self-government in the shortest possible time. Now, though Ghana did not become independent until 1957, these two milestones made 4th August a symbol of the nation's initial steps towards sovereignty. So, on the 4th of August in 1976, the Sudanese government executed at least 81 military officers and civilians implicated in a failed coup attempt against President Jafar Nimeiri regime, which began on 2nd of July. So, as part of the regime's harsh crackdown, scores of detainees, many Ethiopian and Eritrea Eritrean immigrants among them were executed without trial in a clandestine squatter camps south of Khartoum. Now, this event remained one of the largest mass extrajudicial execution in modern African history. So, and in Ouagadougou, on the 4th of August, 1983, a group of radical junior officers led by Captain Thomas Sankara and his close associate Blaise Compaoré, along with around 250 paratroopers, so toppled the Major Jean Baptiste Guadrogo. So they actually toppled the Major Jean Baptiste Guadrogo's government in what came to be known as the August Revolution. So Sankara was sworn in the same day as the President of the Republic of Upper Volta, launching sweeping socialist reforms and pan-Africanist agenda under the new ruling body, the Conseil National de la Revolution, so the CRN, the CNR. So, and exactly 1 year later, on the 4th of August, 1984, President Sankara's government officially renamed Upper Volta to Burkina Faso, meaning Land of the Upright People, and adopted a new flag comprising red and green bands with a yellow star at its center. So the change, party symbol, part break with the colonial past, solidifies Sankara's revolutionary brand. So the choice of Pan-African colors and the star reflected his ambition of self-reliant, united, and egalitarian society. So, and on August the 4th, 2025, today we looking at the African Union Peace and Security Council scheduled a key session to address the worsening conflict and humanitarian crisis in Sudan amid ongoing fighting, displacement, and concern over the risk of national partition. So I think this highlights the ongoing impact and importance of the 4th of August in African political and humanitarian affairs. So today, so there is the African Union's Peace and Security Council scheduled a session scheduled for today. So hopefully that goes well and sort out some of these issues. So good morning, and the 4th of August, it's a Monday morning. So our thought for the day today is never underestimate the power of stupid people in a large group. Never underestimate the power of stupid people in a large group. So the proverbs means that even if individual may lack wisdom or intelligence, when they come together in large numbers, their combined action can have a significant impact, sometimes more powerful or disruptive than expected. So it warns against dismissing the influence that a large or unwise crowd can exert, so which can lead to unexpected consequences or collapse or challenges. So in essence, it cautioned that the sheer size of a group can give a considerable power, regardless of the competence or knowledge of its members. So this can apply now in social, in political, and also on organization context, in an organizational context. So And we have seen, we can see this in political arena. So you can actually have someone, you know, shouting the louder, and just because he's elected by the group, but the majority doesn't mean necessary is the cleverest, is the most intelligent one. So, yeah. So it's actually caution that you have, that the sheer size of a group can give a considerable power. So regardless of the competence or knowledge of its members. So, and this can apply in different sector, in different, in society, in social, in political, and also in organizational context. So that's the thought of that's the thought for the day. So never underestimate the power of stupid people in large groups. So hopefully that help you today in the decision and choices that you make in life, in your life today. So welcome. Our time is about 43 minutes past the hour of 7. And as usual, we will cross over to Windhoek and have our FNB Namibia segment that's coming your way after this commercials. So stay tuned. We will be back later on around 8 o'clock. We will then cross over back to here, to Ondangwa again to continue with unpacking the day as usual. So stay tuned. We cross to Windhoek for FNB Namibia segment.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend. You are now tuned into the F&B segment, proudly brought to you by F&B Namibia. A very good morning to you, and yes, Oshaveli, Mike Oshaveli has crossed over to Windhoek, the capital city, and we are coming to you live from the capital city right here on Eagle FM, in Eagle FM studios. Now today we are joined by Theo Hidulika. He is the client support specialist at F&B Namibia. Good morning, Theo, and welcome.
Good morning, listeners. I'm happy to be here today again.
Yeah.
How's it going?
All going well. So Theo, this is from one of our listeners, and they say, hi, I was tricked by someone in joining this fast making money platform, and I think they hacked my account. By now, I think they are using my account to scam people. So Theo, as someone who works at the bank, please emphasize to the listeners how there's no such thing as fast making platform.
All right. Firstly, I don't believe that the account was hacked, as you cannot hack FNB accounts. That is the first thing that I need to put it out there.
Yeah.
Unless you have unknowingly provided your login details to these people, which I'm assuming that is what transpired.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that the account takeover is being used as a mule account. So in this particular instance, please call the bank, make a police statement so that we can see what we can do there, because the account needs to be now closed, or it needs to be investigated because it's being used to scam people. What I can advise is please do not fall for this fast, quick investment, fast money. There's no such thing as fast money. If it's not real, if it's too good to be true, it's not true. So what we have picked up is these guys recruit our people with false promises. The people believe, then they provide their account information, and then the account are used in the process of scamming individuals. Now, remember, you will be held responsible for that as well. You will be part of the team that is scamming people, regardless if you did not know, because the bank is always saying, do not provide your information to anyone. By law, you are not supposed to share your account information and your login with individuals because you don't know what they are doing. Mm-hmm. And it can lead you into a lot of legal problems. So yes, I would say to our fellow listeners and clients, please be wary of this. We see that there's been an upkeep of this that is transpiring, whereby individuals give away their account information and then later learn that their account was implicated in maybe a scamming activity or a client got scammed. So yes, be vigilant and report it to the bank as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
As well as when you're reporting to the bank, please try to give us detailed information. When were you called? By who were you called? What did they ask? What did you provide? It makes it easier for us to assist you as well with our external partners such as MTC, Telecom and Namibian Police. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, Theo, when approached with an investment opportunity, what are the questions people should ask themselves? For example, I know if I receive an opportunity and, quote unquote, via my DM, then it's 100% a scam.
All right. Firstly, the first thing you need to know or the first thing you need to pick up is the legitimacy of this transaction or this approach.
Mm-hmm.
A legitimate company will never approach you on social media. That is the first thing you need to understand.
Mm-hmm.
They will approach you via either their contact center, their emails, or their calls by their office. Secondly, please do more research on this investment. What type of company is it? Is it in Namibia? Is it a registered company? Have you heard about it before? Or is it just something that came out of the blue? Thirdly, if it's too good to be true, then it's definitely not true.
Yeah.
What is too good to be true? Let's say an investment scam comes up and say, if you invest 5,000, you'll get 25,000 by the end of the week.
Yeah.
That is unrealistic.
Yeah.
So also here is where common sense also comes in, and also do more research. Ask, call the bank, call Bank of Namibia, call Namfisa. There's so many regulators that you can call to find out and report. Once again, if they are approaching you on social media, it's 100% a scam.
Okay.
And you will lose money without knowing it. So please be vigilant. Look out for any, and also in the messages that they send, you see there'll be typos, there'll be funny things, you know? So those small things will save you. So pay attention to detail and be very wary of these guys.
Okay. Pay attention to detail.
Yes.
Now, another one of our listeners says, I often receive notification from Google Chrome that my data or my email and password to a particular site was found in a data leak. Now, can such information be used to access my bank account?
Unfortunately, not.
With
FNB, we have a onion layer protection. What does it mean? If you look at an onion, you see that it has layers on layers on layers on layers. So yes, I think, earlier this year, there was a report that came through that, one of our telecommunication companies were hacked. As well as, I think, in the newspaper, there was another release that the Oshivarongo Town Council was there.
Yes, municipality, yeah.
Yes. So with the banking systems, or with FNB to be in particular, we have an advanced system put in place. So there cannot be any external breaches. The onion layer protection means that after each layer, there's another layer. Your data is secured.
Mm-hmm.
This is why the individuals need you to go into your account. That is why they call you with false pretenses, with false investment schemes, and ask for your details, because they cannot. So I can guarantee you and confidently say that FNB is protected from cyber securities, and your account information, including your personal information, is safe. They can only access your account if you play a part in it. So be very wary, and please stop sharing your banking information or any other information. Secondly, you mentioned that the client said, when they get the notification, what should they do? What I would advise is your passwords on everything, be that it's your banking, be that it's your phone, change them on a regular basis. Let them not be the same. Let them be unique.
Yeah.
And also, one of the things that you can do to protect yourself, have 2FA authentication. What does that mean? It means that every time you want to log into something, it will send you a prompt, an OTP, for you to confirm. just like how the banking app does. Yeah. That is what I have on all my my accesses, including Instagram, LinkedIn, everything. So this is just another wave of support or protection on your personal data, because the cyber guys are busy. They're busy trying to fish for your information and sell this on the dark web.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how do I do that?
So your phone should have that functionality. Okay. If you're going to WhatsApp, for example, you're going to WhatsApp, you're going to security, there should be 2FA authentication available. What this means is every time you are going to log on WhatsApp on a different device, not your device, WhatsApp will send you a message with a OTP on your cell phone number to authenticate. This is just another layer of protection.
Yeah.
Secondly, one of the things that we can do is, I see that most of us do have online payments or online purchases.
Yeah.
That is how the Netflix, the Apple Music, the Google. Your card has a limit, right? So what I do is, when I'm not using my card, I block it. You can temporarily block it on the app.
Yeah.
The app works for free.
Yeah.
Secondly, you can set your international limit to that amount. For example, if you have Netflix and Apple Music that's going off and it's an equivalent amount of 300, put the limit for the international purchase on 300 so that when it goes off, there's nothing else that will go off. So these are just the small things that you can do to protect yourself, but they go a long way.
They do.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's emphasize on that point. That a scammer needs you to get into your bank account. Let's say your card falls out of your pocket and someone picks it up. What's the most they can do with your card without your assistance?
All right. So there's two ways we can go around the story. The first one, it depends now. If your card is picked up and it's not blocked, the possibility of them tapping, that can happen, but a very low amount, is most of our tapping limit ends at 300. The tapping functionality is an added functionality on the card to make it safer. So that is what they can do. Secondly, if you have online secure means that every time a purchase is done online with your card, you first need to approve. If you have that, then you are safe from the online purchases, because the scammers will use the card number in front and the CVV number at the back to make a purchase, a crypto purchase or whatever it is, and then it will alert you. If you don't approve, then it will not go through. But if you do not have a 3D secured, some might go. Some sites are not secured. But in this particular instant, the main point still comes at what happened if your card is lost. So there's two things you can do. You can cancel the card on your app immediately. The FNB app does not work with data on the MTC network. Even if you have zero credit, it will still work. Secondly, you can call the contact center. We are open 24/7. That helpline for the cards is open 24/7, and the card will be canceled immediately. So do not wait. Do not wait for transaction to go off, because you will be held liable for that. It is your card. It is your responsibility. So if you do lose it, please try by all means to contact us, or at least cancel it on your app. If you think that you just misplaced it, you can temporarily block it until you find it. But our advice is always, if you cannot find your card within the first 10 minutes and you fear that you have lost it somewhere, please call.
Okay.
And cancel it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lastly, Theo, walk us through step by step those procedures of reporting suspicious activity.
All right. So it will depends on what you're picking up. The easiest thing that you can do is monitor your account. As soon as you see a notification that you are not familiar with, a payment that went off, an attempt that didn't go off or tried to go off, the first thing you can do is call the bank at 061-299-2222. I'm going to repeat again, 061-299-2222. So once you have reported that, or once you have called that number, we then take charge.
Okay.
The first thing we're going to do is secure your account while we're trying to get more information. Most of the time, our clients will remember what transpired. They'll either say, no, I got a call, I click on a link, and so forth. So the most important thing is monitor your account, your notifications in your account. As soon as you see movement that you have not authorized or you have not made yourself, report it. Call the bank. We will put a hold on your account. Then we'll investigate with you, with your help, what exactly is happening. Did you perhaps give out your information unknowingly? Did you perhaps get a call and so forth? And also, one of the things that we have also picked up is that there is now a new trend. We call it vishing, impersonator, meaning that Juju, you will get a call now, calling from whatever, you have one whatever. For you to get these funds, you need to do this and this. And most of our people do that, not knowing that they are actually being scammed. And then they give out their banking information. By the time they realize, it's too late. Secondly, the other one that we've also picked up is the AnyDesk.
AnyDesk. Yes. Okay.
So AnyDesk basically means that if it's a malware or a system, basically, I will send you a link, you click on it, you install it unknowingly. So basically what you did there, you just gave a mirror of your PC to the scammers. Yes. So every time you go in, they can see everything. They can see your passwords. They can see your logging information. So it's very, 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 very tricky to get around this. And also lastly, and I need this to go to everybody that's on Facebook or social media, the games that you are playing, please, let's not play games on Facebook. You click on a link, or there's a video of the one that is trending now is, I think I even saw it. You can win a hamper for Mr. Price, half the price. You need to click here. You need to go there. Everything costs what? The video looks so realistic.
Yeah.
No, those are scams. Those are fraudulent activities. Do not click on such links. It's going to ask for your card. It looks legitimate. Next thing you see, money is going off. Money keeps going off. And then you're wondering, but I didn't do anything. So be very, very cautious on social media. Don't click on links. Don't trust everything that you see. Verify first before you can do anything, because it might cost you in the end.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the F&B segment.
You're very much welcome. And to our listeners and clients, once again, the number is 061-299-2222. We're always available to assist you. Please do not provide your information to anyone, regardless of the story, regardless of the amount or the reward. Rather call the bank.
Okay. And I hope that's clear to you clients and customers of F&B Namibia. And now we pause here and actually take the mic back to Ondangwa Studios to Michael Chiavelli as he continues to bring you Unpacking the Day from Indafa Happy Juju. It is goodbye. This has been the F&B segment, proudly brought to you by F&B Namibia. Catch the F&B segment every Monday from 7:45.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia is not.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
So welcome back, and thank you, Juju, and the F&B for those financial tip to keep the money right here, right in our pocket, you know. Thank you for that. Make sure that you always tune in from quarter to 8 to 8 o'clock for the F&B segment where we get some financial tips and some financial information how to protect our moolah. So welcome back. Our time is about 1 minute past the eight, 1 minute past the hour of eight. And we are back in Ondangwa studio. So good morning, good morning, good morning, Namibia. So from the capital to the coast, you know, from the Kavango to the Karoo regions, you are locked in with me, your host, Mike Oshoveli, on Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So, The big story today, is actually the, and it's also a story in our Villager, in addition, in today's edition of the Villager. Then make sure that you subscribe, to the Villager, or what you need to do is actually send, your name and your email address at 08 01 241 44. So that's the correct number. So once you send it there, so you will be sent, you will receive a free copy, you know, a free digital copy of the Villager every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So make sure that you subscribe, to the Villager. So it's for free, eh? It's for free. So if you want to receive, on a regular basis, business, economic, and political, and so much more news coming your way through the Villager. Now, as I said, the big story today is the U.S. President Donald Trump, signed the expected, executive order on July 31st, 2021, now modifying tariff rates on imports targeting about 90 countries worldwide. So with the changes actually expected to take effect on August 7th, that today is the 4th, August 7th is when? Is it Friday? So it's expected to take effect on August 7th, 2025. Now, so President Donald Trump once again changed the rule of the game. So once again, he changed the rule of the game. He rolled out a new set of trade tariffs on goods imported, also imported from African countries. And Namibia is also on that list. We are also on that list. So we are going to look at this. We are going to look into this. And what does it really mean for us? So what does it mean for us? Who wins? Who lose? You know, who are the winners? Who are the losers? And most importantly, what does it mean for us here in the land of the brave? That's basically what we're going to look at it. Now, all right, let's start at the very beginning. So this is all about the U.S. president, you know, addressing a persistent U.S. Trade deficit, you know. Remember at the beginning, so the trade deficit is when a country, in this case the U.S., you know, buys more stuff from another country that is then it sells to them, you know? So when U.S. actually buying more stuff from Namibia, then what we sell them actually. So now the Trump administration is saying, hey, Africa, we're buying too much of your stuff and you don't buy enough of ours. So that's what actually Trump's saying. So to fix this, so the problem is that to fix this, we are going to make your stuff more expensive to buy in America by adding tax on it. You know, see? So we are buying too many stuff from you, but you're not buying ours. So now to fix these problems, we're actually going to make your stuff more expensive. So when it comes to America, so it becomes difficult for Americans to buy them. So they add tax on it to make it more difficult for America to buy it. So that's what it means. Okay. I think the real question here is this really about economy? Is this really about economics? Eh? I don't think so. Because when you look at the numbers, when you look at the numbers, if all African, of all African export, of all Africa's export to the U.S. under the AGOA program, in let's say for in 2024, were about $29.3 billion. 29.3. That's all Africa's export to the U.S. under the AGOA program. So it's in 2024. So we look at them 24. They were about $29.3 billion. So that sounds like a lot of money. That sounds like a lot of money. But for the American economy, for example, which is over 25 trillion. Over 25 trillion. That's a drop in the ocean. That's why I said this has nothing to do with economics, actually. It has nothing to do with it. 25 trillion, it's a drop in the ocean. It's barely 0.1% of the economy. You know? So the claim that African exports are creating a massive or destabilizing trade deficit for the U.S., frankly, it doesn't hold water. It honestly doesn't hold water. So you're more like, how would I put this? Let me get a good imagery. You know, it's like blaming a mouse for eating the elephant's food. Yeah. So honestly, it's like you are blaming a mouse for eating the elephant's food. It doesn't make any difference at all. It doesn't. And that's why I said it's not economics. So I think this signals that the motive might be more political than economic. So it's about sending a message. It's about leverage. It's about rewriting the rule to favor one player, which is US. Now, so the policy set a baseline tax of 10% on most things. On most things, it has this base tax of 10%. But for countries that sell a lot, now, for countries that sell a lot to the U.S., the tax can actually go up to 30%. I think they have created a system that punishes success. I can tell you, that punishes success. So the better you are at selling your product to them, the more you are actually penalized. So the more you are penalized. So they created this system that it punishes actually success. Because the country that sell a lot to the U.S., that tax can go up to 30%. Now these tariffs, they are not the same. They are not a blanket policy. They are not actually a blanket policy. So they have been applied very, very, very differently across the continent. So, and this is a classic divide and conquer strategy. So whether that's intentional or not, I think it is a divide and conquer strategy. So let's look at our neighbors. Okay. Let's look at our neighbors, South Africa, our biggest trading partners. They actually got the hit hard. They got hit hard. So a 30% tariff on their cars. They still got a 30% on their cars, on their steels, on their, you know, even on their delicious fruits, you know, that citrus fruits. They got 30% tariff. And there are some reports that says this could cost them $2 billion a year, $2 billion US dollar a year. So, and if that's the case, and remember, when South Africa's economy get a cold, so who sneezes? We in Namibia often start to sneeze. So we need to watch that space very closely. So now, But then you have a story like Lesotho also. Small nation, completely surrounded by South Africa. So their main export to the U.S. is textiles. They make clothes for big brand like Levi. So initially, they were facing a crippling 50% tariff. You remember was it early in May or in April? You know, so 50% tariff. But after what the article calls intense lobbying, you know, after the intense lobbying, it was brought down to now to 15%. So it is now brought to 15%. So, and this tells us two things, okay? It tells us two things. One, the initial number were likely just, I think they were just a threat to scare countries into negotiations. So they were so higher that the countries were panicking, and they have to, you know, to go back to the U.S. and negotiate a new tariff. And basically that was it. That was the case. It's actually pushing, you know, and scare country actually into negotiations. And two, diplomacy matters. Okay? But it also shows how smaller nation, we are at the mercy of these huge economic powers. Eh? So they had to declare, so we have to declare economic emergency to be heard, isn't it? Like the case of Lesotho. So if we go to, and there's another something. So if we go to West Africa, Nigeria is the giant. It's one of the giant, okay? They get a 15% tariff. They also get a 15% tariff. But here is something else, all right? Here is something else. The policy exempt oil and critical minerals. The policy, this U.S. policy, then exempt oil and critical minerals. And what is over? And what is over 90% of what Nigeria sells to the U.S.? You guess it right. Crude oil. Crude oil. So this is a major, I think this is a major hidden angle. So the U.S. is protecting its own interest. So they need oil. So the oil flow freely. So it's not actually, it's not charged tariff. So, but Nigeria's they have these cocoa farmers, farmers. So, but the cocoa farmers, the one trying to diversify the economy away from oil. So, and they get hit. They get a tariff. So, as you can see, the policy effectively punishes diversification and reward dependency on the raw material that the West needs. The raw material that the West needs, you know, they reward that. So you see the pattern? So the pattern, it is not a consistent rule. You know, it is not a consistent rule. It is a set of levers being pulled to achieve a specific outcome. An outcome that benefit the U.S. first, and what is about the rest of us later, you know? So, now, let's come back home, okay? Let's bring it all the way home now, okay? To Windhoek, to Walvis Bay, to Oostsinker, eh? Namibia is facing a 15% tariff. Okay, we are facing a 15% tariff. Now, so what does that mean for you and me and for a farmer at Oosinker, you know, or at, So now, for years, Namibia has benefited from AGOA. Okay, this is African, what is AGOA? AGOA is African Growth and Opportunity Act. Okay, so, excuse me. So, yeah, the African Growth and Opportunity Act. So, for years, Namibia has really benefited from AGOA and many other African countries as well. This was a deal that allowed us and another African country to sell many of our goods to the US with a zero tariff. Okay? So no tax at all. So it was a huge advantage. So now, because it was a huge advantage, it helped to build our grape industry along the Orange River. Remember? It helped our fish exporters in the Wavish Bay, find a market in the U.S. It helped our charcoal producers and even our beef industry. So it was really, as I said, it was a huge advantage. Now, this 15% tariff effectively cancels out that AGOA benefit. It cancels out that. So, and let's make a practical example. Let's make it practical. So, now, we have a grape farmer near Oosinker, okay, who sell a container of grape to a U.S. supermarket for, say $1 million. Now, before, that was the price. Now, a 15% tariff means an extra 150,000 is added to the cost. Now 150,000 is added to the cost. So who pays that 150,000 now? 150,000. Who pays that? Either the American supermarket pays it and pass it on to their customers, making our Namibian grapes more expensive than grapes from say from whatever, Peru or from Guatemala, whatever the case may be, okay? Or the U.S. buyer say to our Namibian farmers, sorry, I can only pay you $850,000 now because I have to cover that tax. So either way, we lose. We either lose sales because we are too expensive, or we lose income because we have to cut our prices. So, and when our export industries lose incomes, what does it mean? It means less money to pay workers. It means less money to expand. It means less tax revenue for our government. So it's not something just, you know, we have to look at this more seriously. It's something that impacts our day-to-day, you know, our bread and butter, as we put it here. So, but there is, remember Nigeria, you know, that zero tariff on critical mineral, like oil. So there is an exemption for critical minerals, like oil in Nigeria. So, for Namibia, that should mean uranium. But the question we must ask is, who defines critical? And for how long? Who defined critical? So, a policy that can change with a stroke of a pen in a foreign capital, like in Washington, it's not a stable foundation to build on an industry. So it creates uncertainty. And you know what? The investors, as we know, the investor hate uncertainty. So this 15% tariff is a direct challenge to our economic diversification effort. So it is. And we need to look at that. We need to find a solution to that. So, and one have to look at what is the bigger game here. So what is really the bigger game here? I see two major hidden agendas. Okay, I call it the hidden agendas. You may call it anything you like, something else. So two major hidden agendas. All right, or you can call it something else. So first, I think this is a direct attack on the spirit of AGOA. For two decades now, AGOA was the cornerstone of U.S.-Africa trade relations. Now, this new tariff make it almost irrelevant without officially killing it, you know? So it's a political move to replace a policy of partnership with a policy of punishment. So, and secondly, by creating these different deals for different countries, like South Africa, you know, was hit hard, was really hit hard. But Nigeria actually, and giving Nigeria a pass on oil, you know, and also making Lesotho actually sweat. And also, so you can see that each country is actually dealt individually. And it creates division. It pits Africa countries against each other. So what it means is that, so just as we're trying to build unity with the African Continental Free Trade Area, so this policy encourages us to think about ourselves first, you know? So that's what it encourages. It to run to Washington and try to get a better deal than our neighbor, isn't it? That's what it's trying to encourage. Yeah. But when you look at this also, think about it. When you look at it also, there's also, how do they say, there's also that silver lining, okay? Here's an opportunity in the crisis. It's an opportunity in the crisis. So this action by the U.S. is the biggest and the loudest warning we actually as African could have ever, you know, asked for. Yeah? It proves beyond any doubt, that we can no longer, or we can build our future. So we cannot build our future on the goodwill of a foreign power. So we cannot. So their priority can and will change, definitely. So as we have seen, after Biden and Trump comes on, the priority change. So the real solution is accelerating the Africa Continental Free Trade Area. I think that's the real solutions. So maybe we need to ask ourselves, why are we working so hard? When you look at what we're doing, why are we working so hard to sell our beef, our grapes to a market 12,000 kilometers away? When we have a market of 1.3 billion people right here on our doorstep, a market in Ghana, a market in Kenya, a market in Angola. I think this is the moment. This is the moment for African leaders and for us to get serious, really to get serious about trading with each other. So we need to fix the cross-border logistics, because that's a big problem. And we need to harmonize our rules. So we need to invest in each other. So otherwise, you know, we will always pay. As I said, we cannot build our future on the goodwill of a foreign power. Eh? Because their priority will always change. So this tariff from the US, I think they will hit, and it has hit for some countries and for us as well. So there's not denying that. And job in textile industry in Lesotho are at risk. So our farmers here in Namibia will feel the pinch. But if we use this pain as a motivation, if we can use this pain as a motivation, and I'm talking to our leaders now. So motivation to build our own strong, independent continental market, then in the long run, we might just end up stronger. And this is not the time for despair. Okay? It is not the time for despair. We have the resources. And as I said, we have the market of 1.3 billion people right here. They are just right here on our doorstep. Wherever you are in Africa now. So it's a time for a strategy. As I said, this is not a time for us to despair. It's actually a time for strategy. It's a time to stop looking only to the West or to the East. So I think we need to start looking at each other. So we need to start Africa. We need to start actually looking at each other. We have 1.3 billion people. That's a market that we have. Maybe we must seriously start looking at that. 28 minutes past the hour of 8. So, yes, that's a story. And you can also find that story in details. You can also find that story in our today's edition of The Villager. So, about the tariffs, the increase in tariff. So what is your take? What is your reaction to that? And what are you saying? What are you saying about that? So our telephone number is 083-366 if you're just joining us, 083-366-091. 083-366-091. So do come through, have your say, have your opinion, your perspective, your contribution. This is your program. You're welcome to come through as well. 083-366-091.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafathana na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seithani na omayakuro nirandisoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o ambiyaji. Eagle FM. Go aye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Great news. Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Our time is 31 minutes past the hour of 8. And welcome. And if you're just joining us, welcome to Unpacking the Day. And so we were just looking at the story, one of the story in our today's newspaper, and also it's widely covered around many newspapers as well. So White House announces a new trade tariff, and as Africa, we got also affected. So when you look at some countries, when you look at some of this tariff, you know, some has changed, some stay stable. So let's look at some of the African countries. I meant to Southern African country. We can't look at all of them. So in South Africa actually, it's remained the same. In April, it was 30%. So remain 30%. Nothing changed. Okay. Angola in April, the tariff was 32% and it reduced to 15%. So Botswana, it was 37% in April, starting the 7th of August, it will be 15%. So, what is other Lesotho? It was 50. Lesotho was 50%. Lesotho was 50%. And starting 7th of August, it will be 15%. And we have Malawi. Malawi was 17%. And then will be 15%. So Madagascar was 47%. And it's going to be 15% as well. So, and Mauritius was 40%. And it's going to be 15 in now it's going to be 15%. And then we have Mozambique. Mozambique was 16%. It's actually 16%. And now it's going to be 15% as well. So, and then Zambia, it was 17%. It's going to be 15%. And Zimbabwe, it was 18%. Now it's going to be 15%. And Namibia, it was 21. Where is Namibia? Namibia was 21%, and it's going to be 15%. So in a SADC, as you can see, as I said earlier on, this has been divide and rule. You know, each one you go and negotiate your own, you know, your own problems, and that becomes, it doesn't unite us, and it means that each country have to go to Washington and discuss their own trouble, and that it doesn't put us really in a very and in a strong position as African. So yeah, this would take place. And this is not only for Africa. This modified tariff rate on import is targeting about 90 countries worldwide. The changes will take effect on the 7th of August, 2025. So, and definitely this would have effect on Namibia. As I was talking earlier on about the AGOA programs, where we used to trade with US without with zero tariff, and that would definitely affect our exporters in Namibia. So, yeah, what is your take? What do you think? What is your opinion? And how do you think, how do you think we should be as Africa, most of these countries hugely affected like South Africa, and what we have to really, really worry about South Africa, because it's our, we trade with South Africa. It's our huge, trading, partner. So if anything happened to them in the way that they are being treated, it would definitely have, it will also affecting us. So, and the other thing is that there is no consistency in the rule. So it's actually dealing with each country individually. And there are no kind of like a blanket policy that apply to everybody. So it's very difficult, as we say that, for investors that become investor don't like uncertainty. So they prefer that they are certain of what are the rules, so that when before they get into that, they know what is the rules all about. What is the rule? So, yeah. And as I said, it's going to affect our. For years, Namibia has that benefit from AGOA. We used to sell many of our stuff to the U.S. with a zero tariff, with no tax, and it was an advantage for our exporters. So, and that's gonna definitely affect now our exporters. The new 15% tariff effectively cancel out that AGOA benefit that we used to have, and it would affect our grape, you know, our grape, our beef, our fish, you know, that I exported to the US. So our telephone number, 08-0833-66091, 08-0833-66091. So you are most welcome to come through and have your comment, have your say. So after this, we're going to look at our second anthem while we're waiting for you to come through.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back, and a very good morning to you. And if you're just joining us, welcome to Unpacking the Day. Now, we have all heard the numbers, billions of barrels waiting off our coast. So billions of dollars in investment. The promise of a new era, moving beyond our reliance of diamond and uranium. It is exciting. It feels like we are on the edge of something huge. But today, we are looking at a story that adds a little twist to this exciting story. So, in its second quarter of 2025 earning report, this is for Total Energies, Chief Executive Patrick Pouyanné says the company is ready to meet the government's ambition of oil production by 2029. However, it will not be moving forward This is what he said. It will not be moving forward until there is a clear indication of the projects Total Energies will be undertaking from the Namibian government. Ooh. Hope you have picked up that. Now, all right. Let's see. Now, I want you to imagine this. Imagine you have a winning lottery ticket. Eh? you have a winning lottery ticket, a massive one, billions and million. But to cash it, to cash it in, you need a partner to go with you to the lottery office. Now, that partner is a global giant, really a global giant, an energy company called Total Energies. So they have helped you find the ticket, and they have the special car now to get you there, a limousine to get you there, and they are ready to go. Now, that's essentially where Namibia is right now with the Venus oil project. Okay? A huge potential. Total Energies, our main partner, is in this discovery, has just released its latest financial report to the world. And in it, their top boss basically put the ball squarely in Namibia's court. So they just, they said, we're ready. We're ready to go. But the ball is in Namibia's court. He's saying they are ready. So they are ready to push the button and spend the billion needed to get oil flowing by 2029. That's what he said, which is the government-owned target. This is our own government's target. But, and this is a very, 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 very big, big, big but, they won't move an inch. They won't move an inch until our government gives them a clear final go-ahead on how things will work. That's what the report is saying. So unless the government of Namibia give them a go-ahead on how things will work. So he says they want to avoid any, according now to that, in that report, he said, we want to avoid any disputes, or problems down the line. So he says it's important for a country new to the oil game, like us now, like Namibia, to understand everything fully. Well, let's think about it. Let's stop right there. So now, on one level, this sounds responsible. I understand that. It sounds responsible. Let's make sure we all agree before we start. Okay? It sounds like a careful and considerate partner, but the bad is coming. But the journalist instinct also kick in. The journalist instinct in me also kick in. So now, why say this publicly? I'm just thinking, why say this publicly? So in an earning report that is read by investors and journalists from all over the world, from New York, from Tokyo, why say this publicly? Why actually put this in your earning report, that is read by investors? Well, is this just a friendly update? Think about it. As I said, put your thinking cap. Is this just a friendly update, or is this a power move? It could be a power move, or it could be a negotiation tactic. Now, this is now played out on the world stage. It's a negotiation tactic played now on the world stage. So by saying we are ready, but we are waiting for Namibia, who does make it look slow? So now, it looks like that's put actually a pressure directly on our leaders in Windhoek. Yeah? The clock is ticking. The whole world is now watching to see what Namibia do next. Yeah? So, all right, let's dig into this after this quick break, and we'll be back.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Unpacking the Day. So we are talking about the public message from the Total Energies to Namibian government. They are ready to invest, but they are waiting for us. They are waiting on Namibia. So now let's dissect this message. Okay. I want us to dissect this message. The CEO mentioned he wants to avoid disputes later. Okay. He said we want to avoid disputes later. What kind of disputes? Eh? And this is the key question. What kind of dispute? Now, but the article doesn't say, okay? The article doesn't say. Is it talking about the tax rate? Could he be talking about tax rate? Could he talking about how much profit Namibia will get? Could he talk about, is he talking about rules for hiring Namibia workers and using Namibian companies? Is it about environmental protection law? What is he talking about? So now, think about this. By being vague, okay, it creates a sense of uncertainty. Okay, it's like saying, I'm worried there might be a problem with the deal. Yeah? So he said, there might be a problem with this deal without saying what the problem is. And this pressures, it gives pressure to the other side. And in this case, our government. So it gives a pressure to our government to make some consensus, maybe to sweeten the deal, and just to remove that vague fear of a problem. So then there's a repeated mention on Namibians being a new country in the new oil industry. Yeah? Again, on the surface, it's a fact. It's a fact that we are new. But how is it being, when you look at it, how is that being used? Is it genuine? Is it a genuine concern? Or is it a little bit patronizing? Does it frame the relationship as the big experienced teacher and the small student, naive student? Does it imply that we should just accept their way of doing things because they know best? I think we must be careful to be treated as equal. We need to be treated as equal partner at the table, not as a student, because that's how it sounds. We're being a little bit patronized. And here's another angle. Now, the CEO casually mentioned their other big prospect. Casually. In South Africa. So, now, he says they hope to start drilling there in 2026. So, why mention that in the same breath as Namibian situation? As I said, my journalist instinct just comes in. And that's what we do here at Unpacking the Day. So, why? And think about it. Is it just a business update? Or is it a subtle reminder that their money, that their money and their investment, their expertise has other places to go. It say, Namibia, you are very important to us, but you are not the only, but you are not our only option. That's basically when you read that article, that's exactly what they're saying. You are not the only option. So it creates a sense of competition, a fear of missing out, you know, if you understand. So it's kind of create that fear of missing out. So it adds some more pressure on our government to decide, either to decide quickly, perhaps without getting the very best deal we can. Eh? Like what it happened in other sectors. I think this is not just a simple statement. I think it's a masterclass in corporate communication and negotiation. So every word is chosen for a reason. And the reason seemed to be to get Namibia to finalize the rules of the game, like likely on terms that are probably favorable to the company. So what does this mean all? What does this all this mean for you and for me, for the future of our country? So I think this put our new government in a very tough position. President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah and her team are working a tight rope, really. So on one side, there is immense pressure to move fast, to get oil money flowing to build, you know, to get that money coming in so that we can build roads, we can build schools, we can build hospitals. We can provide the service that people need and to create jobs. So the 2029 target is ambitious. And as Total Energy reminds us, a decision is needed this year to meet it. So, but on the other side, there's a huge responsibility to get this right. To learn from mistakes of other oil-rich nations that we don't do the same thing, to make sure that the contract benefits the Namibian people for generations to come. Not just for a few years, to ensure our beautiful and fragile marine environment is protected. So that's the pressure. And rushing into a deal could mean leaving billions of dollars on the table. It could mean weak environmental laws. Because we couldn't really, you know, work this out properly because we were rushed into. It could mean we miss the chance to build up our own local industries around the oil sectors. And in the long run, it doesn't benefit us. Well, let's not forget our own Namibia National Petroleum Corporation, NAMCOR. They are our representative in these deals, holding a stake for the Namibian people. So are they being properly supported to negotiate strongly? Or are they being squeezed between a global giant and the government under pressure? So now, while the promise of 150,000 barrels of oil per day sound fantastic, the real story is in the detail of the agreement that is being actually being negotiated or hammered out behind the closed doors. That's where the real story is. And the question we should be asking are, what are the specific points of disagreement? What are the classifications, the clarification that Total Energies is waiting for? So we, the public, have the right to know. We have the right to know. This is our resources. This is our natural heritage. So transparency is not just a, shouldn't be just a buzzword that's being used. It's essential when the stakes are this higher. So now, the dream of Namibia, the dream of Namibia's oil, I think it's real. The potential is immense. But this is the most critical phase. This is the negotiation phase. So this recent comment from the Total Energies are not just a simple status update. It's not just about status update. They are a clear public signal, a piece of high stakes international negotiation happening right in front of our eyes. So they have put the clock on us. So our jobs as citizens, our job as journalists, our job is to stay informed. Your job is to stay informed. And also to support our government in being both, you know, swift, that we are quick enough, and also strong in our negotiation. So we want the investment, yes, but we want it on our terms. Terms that are fair, terms that are sustainable, that build a better future for every single Namibian. So this is not just a story of, this is not just a story about a French energy giant and the Namibian government. It is a story about our sovereignty, our economy, and our legacy. So let's make sure it is a story with a happy ending for Namibians. With a happy ending of every Namibians. All right? So, yes. That's a story of the French energy giant that says, yes, we are ready. But we are waiting on the government's, we're waiting on Namibian's government. Because we don't want disputes and problems later on. And that is not very clear. What would be the dispute? What would be, you know, the problems? So, as I said, we need that transparency. We need to know what is going on. All right? So, our telephone number, 08-333-66-091, 08-333-66-091. So, you're most welcome to come through. Have your say. So, when you come, we also going to look at, there was also an article about Shell that says that Namibia no longer a priority for Shell's exploration plan. So we're going to look at that when we come back. But you're most welcome to come through and have your say, have your comment on what we have discussed so far. So our telephone number, 08-333-66-091. So come through and have your reaction or have your comment.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Very good morning to you, and welcome to Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. Our time is about 2 minutes past the hour of nine. So we have been talking about oil. Yeah. From last week up to now, up to this week, we have been really focusing on oil and looking at different aspects. And we will definitely get the person who actually responsible for this, who actually heading this. She just need to find time. Up to now, she hasn't find time to that we can talk to her. But we have requested an interview with her, so that we sometimes clear up some of the things that that we read about or that we hear about. Okay, so yeah. And we're talking about Total Energies that also have something that make us think, that make us a little bit think, and started to, to worry a little bit. It's not that, it just make us a little bit worried and thinking what is going on. As public, maybe the government, no, but as a public, we kind of started to worry. What is going on? So why would there be delay in terms of this? So, and why they're putting so much pressure on our government? So, now the other stories that I wanted to actually bring in as well is the story about Shell, where Shell say Namibia is no longer a priority for Shell's exploration plan. You understand? Now, ever since those big discoveries of our coast back in 2022, I think it felt like we are standing on the edge of a new era. A future of jobs, of development, of national wealth. The dream of becoming a major oil producer has been powerful, But today, on these stories, we have got to unpack a story that might feel like a bit of cold water on that dream, So a splash of reality, you splash in your face and then you're kind of like wake up, So a splash of reality. So the headline, It's grabbing attention today. What is grabbing attention is it's based on a new report for mining and energy. So suggest that one of the giant, as we know, Shell, is tapping the brakes on Namibia. The report says Namibia is no longer a top priority for their exploration money. So, now, the big question we're asking this morning is this. Is the party over before it even started? Or is there something else going on behind the scenes? Something else that we don't know? Now, I want us to put on our thinking cap and let's unpack this, okay? Now, you're most welcome to come through. Our telephone number is 08-08-333-66-091, 08-333-66-091. So at any time, you can come through and have your say or your reaction on things that we have said earlier on or what we're discussing right now. So the report says, what are they saying? So when a corporate giant like Shell speaks, I think sometimes you have to listen carefully. Okay. They don't always say what they mean in a plain English or for ordinary people like us. It's all about corporate speak, you know? So, but the report says Shell's chief executive, a man named Vile Sawan, Vile Sawan, probably pronounced that right, has laid out a new global strategy. Now, so he says they are now, being more, more selective about where they spend their money. Okay. And guess what? Namibia is not on the new VIP lists. Okay. we are not on that VIP list. So now, instead, they are focusing on places where they already have the keys to the house. Okay. And know where everything is. So what it means that places where they have assets and where they are already doing something, you know, in terms of oil. So places like Gulf of Mexico and Malaysia. So it's a safe bet for them. Okay. So when they say they are monitoring development in Brazil and looking at what others are doing here in Namibia, what does that sound like to you? So they're saying, no, we will be monitoring development and looking at what others are doing in Namibia, here in Namibia. So what does that actually sounds like to you? So, well, it's like saying, now, I always like to have this, you know, imagery. It works well with me. So I think it's like saying to a friend, I'll come to your party, but I'm going to wait outside first and see if it looks fun. You know, I need to look if it looks fun before I commit. So I'll come. But I will wait outside and see, is it really, you know, is it fun so that I can commit? So it is not a no. So first of all, it's not a no, but it definitely not a yes. It is a maybe. It's kind of like a maybe. If someone else does the hard work first, maybe. So that's how, where we are. That's exactly what they're saying. And who are these others that they refer to? They are watching. And we were just talking about, some other big players in our waters, the Total Energies. So are they watching? Are they waiting for the Total to crack the code? To solve the difficult puzzle deep under the water and before they jump back in. So, well, it is a clever strategy for them, but what does it mean for us? It means waiting, but waiting, it doesn't build road. Waiting, it doesn't build schools. Waiting, it doesn't build hospitals. Waiting, it doesn't provide jobs. So this is not just a talk. I think Shell has already accepted a loss of about $400 million on one of its Namibian projects. So, well, in business terms, they call this a write-down, you know, a writing off. So, well, in plain English, it means they spend a huge amount of money that they now admit they won't get back. So, and that's a signal that the challenges they are facing are real. So they have drilled several wells since 2022. They found oil. Yes, they did find oil. The potential is there. But they are hitting at a major technical and geological challenges. So simply put, they know the treasure is in the chest, but the chest is providing incredible difficulty and expensive to open. So that's basically said. So Shell is being cautious. Now they are being so cautious. They have lost some money and they are stepping back to watch from the sideline for a bit. So, but on Unpacking the Day, we don't just sit down. We don't just sit on the sideline. So we don't just stay on the surface. We dig deep. So what is going on? So what can we read between the lines? Is there hidden angles that we can look at? Now, so this is where we need to think and also challenge the narratives. So this is where we need to think and challenge the narratives. So, and here's the big, I think here's the very, the first big red flag for me. The article mentioned almost as a side note, you know, it's almost as a side note that just last month, a total level delegation, a top level delegation from Shell met with our president, Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah. Wait a minute. So we need to connect the dot here. So why would you send your senior executive all the way to the State House to meet the president, only to announce a month later that the country is no longer a priority? It doesn't add up. It doesn't really add up at all. Now, this raises some serious questions for me and probably for you as well. So what was really said in that meeting? Did Shell give our leadership, let's say, a heads up? Did they say, look, we are changing our global strategy and Namibia is going to be on the back burner? So if so, then if this is the case, why we went, you know, as the public, why we were not told about that? As I said, we need transparency on this high level discussion that affect our national future. Yeah? So that's one angle. That's one angle. So, or could it be something else? The second angle is this a negotiation tactic? Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself, man?
Good.
Mm.
Yeah. Let's start on the issue of you say about tariffs and all these things and the trading. And whenever Africans or whoever wants to start with their own business, somebody comes and start bullying them.
Exactly. That has been the case. And we have been divided. They use divide and rule kind of tactic.
No, but look, it's us who have allowed that.
Yep.
You know, remember during colonial time, when the people were fighting for liberation?
Mm.
Do you think those countries were never sanctioned those who are supporting the liberation movement? Do you think they were never sanctioned?
They were never sanctioned.
They were sanctioned.
Yeah.
Every day. Zambia is one of them. Copper went down. Yeah. Tanzania. What did the Nyerere do? I think the people went to exile, they'll tell you more.
Yeah.
Those countries, what they did, they just told their people. Poverty is not the best thing because it can be used against you.
Yeah.
So, go and plow. Actually, I think if I'm not mistaken, in Tanzania, it was at one point, I think, that when the Harambe, the Ujamaa, came into play, where I think it said, we have to feed ourselves. So it was, I think, compulsory. Everybody, every December, when it's rain season, you should put in leaves and go and cultivate the flood of the land. Then let's harvest. If we have got our stomachs, if our stomachs are full, no matter what, whoever wants to fight against us, they will still fail. Because why? The people are happy. The economy we are talking about, it's about, I don't know, certain things. Other people, when you're telling a villager, a typical, the person who is deep in the village about the commodities and the what, the falling, what, copper or diamond. They have never even seen a diamond in their life. What they know is cassava in their backyard. Since they were born. So the impact, what you are telling them about it, diamond, because of this and this and this and the tariffs, it have got impact on us. The people from the red line side. What impact will the beef have on our market, on this Namibian market? What? Tell me.
You know, I've given an example that the 15% of tariff that has that has now. You know, if you used to sell your beef to the U.S. market for 1 million.
Yes.
Then add that 15% on it.
No, but the question is, whose beef?
Well, you
have got a lead line there. Don't forget.
Yeah. Beef? But okay, we understand
I'm asking
that.
You,
I'm
asking you, at the mic.
Yeah.
The question is, whose beef? There we have got a lead line.
Yeah. No.
Is the beef for the people on the other side or the beef for the people on this side?
The other side are also Namibian. The south side are also Namibian. They will be affected as well.
I fully agree.
Yeah.
I fully agree. But they don't sell beef to USA because our beef is foot and mouth.
Yeah, no. I'm just giving an example to say if you have your market.
No, this is a practical aspect we are talking about. It's not an example. It's a practical one.
Yeah, but we sell meat to the U.S. market.
They sell meat to the market. Yes. The white people sells meat to the market. So it's their cousins.
Is no, they are Namibians.
Now, the second part. Wait. The second part. Who mines our minerals?
It's probably a multinational company.
It's themselves again. Where am I impacted when Rossing put? How much shares does Namibia government has in Rossing? 3%. Who's having more percentage?
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
When the problem comes, we take it to the government.
Yeah.
When everything is fine, we say government must not do business.
Yeah. You're right, because even in these rules, that the rules of the tariff now that changed, there's a zero tariff on critical minerals. That means even like Nigeria. Because he provided, they export oil to them. Those are not actually, they are not charged. They are not charged
because
tariff.
They are them.
Exactly, because it's for the benefit of the U.S.
So
you are right by saying this is there, it's the multi companies that actually run these is there. They cannot actually, impose tariff on them,
So they want to impose tariffs on beef.
Yeah.
I told you. The market we have for beef in this country, it's huge. I gave you an example. Let's eat beef. As well from the northern side, the red line side. Just allow us one year to bring our own beef from that side and see if our market won't be booming.
Don't you think it will be saturated with meat?
When they come from that side, they'll come with meat. And the business there, people start selling to us. is it? Give us 1 year for us to bring our own beef from our regions.
Yeah.
And see if it won't work. You see those people, their business will be booming.
So the market will be saturated with meat.
No. Second thing. Yeah. Let me tell you one thing.
Mm.
Go to Choppies. Go to all these literal shops, ShopRite, whoever. Where do they get the beef from? Is it Namibian beef?
Not really. Not many, much of them is not.
All right.
Mm.
We are going there. It's business, eh? We are talking business.
Yeah.
Where do they get the beef? So if you impose tariffs on us, and just to also sell us, we give you 100% tariffs.
Yeah, and then you ban.
Yes.
And then you ban.
We are eating the beef we eat in Windhoek as we speak.
Yeah.
90%. If not 90% in all these retail shops,
yeah,
it's from their side.
And actually, then you do like what an NAB do. The Namibia Broad the agronomic board does that. When we have surplus, I mean, when we have certain fruits or certain vegetables, are actually the border cross for those. I mean,
the border crossing.
Yeah, close.
They don't come to us. We eat what we have. Yeah, we have produced more. We don't buy from South Africa.
We don't buy from South Africa. Yeah.
Yes. What did the South African do? Started crying. Is not so.
Yeah. So then I think we can, if we can do that in the same way, like what you say.
No, that's what we should do. Not we can do. It's business. We are talking now.
Mm.
We'll see who is going to cry louder.
Yeah.
There's something we have told people that if you are telling us that we should continue keeping the red line, let's agree to disagree that those people from that side, let them eat their meat and let you eat your meat. They started crying. Some people even, it's not the way how you are living in a closet. Why should you force me to buy your meat yet I'm leaving my cousin's meat, my uncle's meat, my grandfather's meat, my father's meat in the red side where he can make money also? But you want me to support your uncle?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. So the only thing, government must not be scared or shy. Just listen to say, no, we all agree. What we eat in Namibia is genetically modified frequently, most of it.
Yeah.
The people who are going to cry is not Namibians. Let me guarantee you. Allow us that 1 year only. 1 year. Let the government, the way the American says no, then let our government say, no, okay, fine. Because then there's no need for us to sell meat to America. We open red line.
Yeah.
Yes. You see, America will start crying immediately on the spot. That's how you play the game. You just know. I think there's no need for us to have a red line. So let's eat, consume our meat. Whoever wants to buy from us, they can buy at their own risk.
Or maybe.
But we will tell you at the same price we used to sell you before. We're not going to change the price.
Or maybe they go to another country.
Look, this is what I've told. I said, you see, the thing that have brought Africa backwards. Mm. Is this policies that scares us?
Yeah.
You see, people, it's like, you see, there was a thing in the old examinations, you know, when there used to be Sudan, Southern and Northern Sudan, The other one with a lot of oil and the other one with less oil,
Yeah.
So then there was this cartoon, which they used to tell people, they explain what is the meaning of this, where...
Yeah.
The other guy is putting the other guy on top of the oil and say, if you argue, I'll shoot you. But the rope is tightening in his rope, in his neck.
Yeah.
And then you've got something like a shadow, you know, the seesaw. So this guy is on top on the drum of oil.
Yeah.
So if you talk, I'll shoot you because the other guy wants to take the oil. Forgetting that if this guy... He shoots this guy.
Yeah.
This guy will fall down. And then the rope from this side will take this other guy up and kill him. Now, but because the poor guy who is on top of the drum is scared of the height.
Yeah.
So he starts complying. Not knowing that anybody just busted who is down here also, if he messes up with me, he's also going to die.
But that's the situation we found ourselves in. You know?
Yeah, that's why we have got new leadership. That's why you see we have got new leadership.
Yeah.
Our leaders are no longer thinking like the way the media is thinking.
Mm.
Yes.
You can go to Botswana. The media, let me be honest with you, this is genuine. The media still stuck. I'm not sure if the media has been paid by these people to sell the narrative that if we don't follow the Europeans or we don't follow the US, we are dead, you are doomed. No. The only thing Parliament can do, take a vote decision, test the waters.
Yeah.
Just allow it to, because they'll come to negotiate. Eh? The moment you see them negotiating, then you know, aha, we got them.
Mm.
Just say, no, we're opening the red line.
But you can only do that when you can only negotiate from the position of strength. And what is your position
of strength?
The problem,
you don't know that you are more powerful than the other person. That's the problem. It's the same scenario I've given you.
Yeah, but
a guy on top of the drum, he feels because of the height, he's scared to fall. You get my point?
Yeah.
Because the other guy is standing on the ground. But the rope in the neck of the other guy on top of the drum is the same rope in the neck of the other guy who's standing on the ground.
Yeah.
Now, the difference is the other guy standing on the ground is less resting well. The other guy is standing on the high ground, with the drums added to it. Eh?
Yeah.
So when he looks down, he sees the height that he can fall down. Is it?
Yeah.
But if he falls down, the rope on this guy to the edge of that thing you put, like, you know when they put that thing for the court, the thing for the judges, eh? In the court, you know, that scale.
Yeah.
You see, no. Now, you have got a rope that will move immediately. When this guy starts falling, this rope will be going up immediately on the other guy who is standing on the ground. Because these two people have got the rope in the neck.
Mm.
That simply means you have to live on mutualism. It's agreement. It's negotiating.
Yeah.
Negotiating. You get it? You agree on your own interest.
Yeah.
But the other guy, because he's scaring, and these are the rules we are talking about. The policy, what you say, you have to negotiate from the point of strength. You have got more, Africa have got more power than anything else. This is genuine.
Yeah.
I tell women this way. The most powerful person on earth is a woman. A man beats a woman, eh?
Mm.
Forgetting that who is going to serve the food of that man is the same woman you have beaten. Don't you see that this woman would have put poison in your food and kill you, idiot? But because the woman is made to believe that she's not powerful in terms of physical strength,
yeah,
she believes that a man can do whatever he wants with her. And this is what the position where Africa finds itself.
Yeah.
And this is what the new leadership is refusing.
Yeah,
you heard what our president said when she was in Angola.
Mm.
She said she was asked this question. Why is it that the way we do things, we don't... She said, no, the problem we have between us and you is trust. You know?
Yeah.
You don't come to us and negotiate with us as equals. You want to come and dictate whatever we want from us, as if we are your king. You get my point?
Yeah.
If we do things in mutualism, the same way the Americans are putting tariffs, just ask, go to Bank of Namibia, go to wherever. You see how much food we put outside. The food we could produce. They are the ones who have disabled our agriculture sector.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it's...
So, let's just revamp our agriculture sector and eat what we produce. The same way Nyerere did it to his people.
Mm.
Yes. The same way Kaunda used to tell his people, go and cultivate. And they had these things they used to call, you know... That's where maybe the world doors or world whatever food agriculture came into the thing. You see, where you see now, food is critical,
yeah.
And water. So that's all. The only thing we need to do is to produce our own food. It doesn't take us 10 months. It's only 3-4 months. We are done. Chief, 3 months, we have our own food if we are serious.
Yeah.
And we tell the Americans that no, the meat that used to come from America, poultry. 100% tariffs, it arrives in Namibia. We are going to grow our own, we are going to do our own chickens here.
Mm. So, but
and
then
we can start, every person must have at least 10 chickens per household.
Yeah.
10 chickens, that's 10 per household.
Yeah.
That you have. Do you think we'll have a small garden of vegetables? And maybe 5 goats. don't need that meat from them.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're
they will come and negotiate, I can guarantee you, whether we like it or not.
You're already used to the rice that actually exported from Brazil. So for you now to go and...
not everybody likes this chicken. People are eating it for the sake of, because we have no choice. Our agriculture was deported.
Yeah. All right,
we
Ben.
We don't eat it because we want it.
Yeah.
It's a requirement. That's why you see that even Shaningwa, she wanted to come with meat from the north. Why? Because that's our food. We love it.
Yeah.
Yes. When we go, we come with maize, we come with whatever. We ask people from Zambezi region, whenever they go, they come with fish. Why?
All right.
It's like if you come from Zambezi region without a cooler box or fish, maybe I'm lost. Am I coming from the village?
So you cannot come without a brim, you know, Zambezi brim.
Especially rain season. You can't come from Zambezi region without chinshungwa. You know our vegetables, that green, rain season food. We can't, it's impossible. No matter how much you have tried to feed us with they have tried to brainwash us. Fish to us is life.
Yeah.
Is it?
Definitely.
You can't brainwash any person from from Zambezi region. Brainwash them, give them a lot of meat and macaroni. They just pop in the village, they eat fish.
All right, man.
Yeah, macaroni is out.
And
so, the other part,
it's
a good one. It's just a request, man. I think maybe we should bring in the Minister of Rural, the one for rural in the regional government.
Sangwasa.
That is Sangwasa, yeah.
Yeah.
Regarding this parking in Windhoek, Tate, what is the requirement for city of Windhoek for any business to operate? Is it not parking is one of them?
Okay, yeah.
Because if parking is one of them, now you find that the parking at ShopRite must have parking. Okay, they have that one inside, but in front of ShopRite, it's city of Windhoek. Why should it be like that?
Okay.
You told me to open business in your city, I should have parking for my customers.
Mm.
But whenever my customers are coming to park there, Namunjamba is coming to make business out of this. What is that? At Teleshop, at Namtc, wherever you go in Windhoek, parking is charged in Telecom, across around Telecom.
All right.
I think we need someone to come and tell us exactly what are the requirements.
Okay.
City of Windhoek, you go there, you pay. At City of Windhoek, you are going to pay water, you pay parking fees. No, it's not fair.
Yeah, the point is clear. All right.
All right.
Mm. All right. So that's actually bring us our time. It's about 34 minutes past the hour of 9, and we have eaten up a lot of time for Mind the Gap. And so that's bring us to the end. That's bring us to the end of Unpacking the Day. And let's do this again tomorrow morning at the same time, from 7:30 until 9:30. And I leave you in a capable hand of Helmut, coming up with a Mind the Gap. For me, Marco Savelli, I wish you a very good week ahead, and see you tomorrow.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I. The I. Eagle FM lets you express your...
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwepo tete okoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ujendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge fata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM. The eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
It's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida.